So, when I was invited to this film festival, never been invited to a film festival before, just like I've never been introduced in terms of Sufi philosophy. All sorts of new things are happening to me. You see, never been invited to a film festival. And so I thought, well, here's my chance, right? Here are filmmakers, and I will tell them about the things that I wanted to see done on film, you see, so that they can all immediately go out and do it. Thank you. Okay. So I think about making films that will make war abhorrent to people. And when you think about the films that have come out of Hollywood about war, and there have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of films about war, they are almost always films that glorify military heroism and war. I mean, there are occasional departures from that, but mostly it's yes, military heroes, military heroism, and the kind of films that will not persuade young audiences that they should not immediately go to war and embrace war. So I began to think about telling a story of wars from a different perspective. And when you look at war from a different perspective, you come up with all sorts of scenarios. And you take the Revolutionary War, which, well, how can you speak against the Revolutionary War, right? It's one of our good wars. We have lists. We have good wars, bad wars. I had a student once who wrote about war, and she said, wars are like wines. There are good years and bad years. She said, but war, she said, is not like wine. She said, war is like cyanide. One drop and you're dead. So even the good wars need to be re-examined and seen as not simply how they're presented to us in such a way as to make war acceptable as a way of solving problems. And so I'll take this one of the best of our wars, which is the Revolutionary War. And if you tell the story of the Revolution not from the standpoint of the Founding Fathers and not from the standpoint of, the need for... And remember, wars, yes, they're a complex phenomenon and there are moral issues intertwined with them. And the Americans were oppressed by the English, but there were also Americans who were oppressed by Americans. The Revolutionary War was not that simple. And if you, for instance, Indians did not rush in exultation to celebrate the victory of the colonists over England, because for them it meant that the line that the British had set against westward expansion, the proclamation of 1763, that line would now be obliterated and now the colonists would be free to move west into Indian territory. They were not celebrating the American Revolution. Black slaves were not celebrating the American Revolution. And, it was estimated that maybe one-third of the American colonists supported the American Revolution, and one-third were opposed, and one-third were neutral. This was John Adams, one of the founding fathers and one of the revolutionary leaders. This was his estimate. And so I thought it would be interesting to tell the story of the American Revolution from the standpoint of just an ordinary working man who listens to the Declaration of Independence read to him from the balcony in Boston, promising freedom and equality and so on, and immediately told that rich people can get out of service by paying several hundred dollars. Yeah. but who then, despite his misgivings and despite his own feeling of being oppressed, not just by the British but by the leaders of the colonial world in which he is having such a hard time surviving with his family, but he joins because he's promised some land and so on. But then he becomes, as the war progresses and he sees the mutilations and the killings, and he sees that the officers of the Revolutionary Army are living in high splendor, and the privates, I mean, there's no, you know, there's no place in society where the class divisions are more clear-cut than in the military. And the ordinary enlisted men don't have any clothes and don't have any shoes and aren't being paid and are being fed slop. And so he joins the mutineers. And you know, in the Revolutionary War, there were mutinies against Washington's army. And the mutiny of the Pennsylvania line, the mutiny of the New Jersey line. So I thought it would be interesting to tell a story of a working man who joins the Revolutionary Army and fights in battles and is wounded, but who then joins the Pennsylvania line, and they mutiny, and they march on the Continental Congress, but finally they're surrounded by Washington's army, and several of their comrades are forced to shoot several of the mutineers. And then this soldier, embittered by what he's seen, gets out of the army, gets some land in western Massachusetts, and then becomes a part of the rebellion after the war is over. There is a rebellion in western Massachusetts called Shays' Rebellion, in which the farmers, small farmers, are rebelling against the rich men who control the legislature in Boston, who are imposing heavy taxes on them, taking away their land and their farms. And Shays' Rebellion is a popular rebellion of veterans of the Revolutionary War and other small farmers who surround the courthouses and refuse to let the auctioneer go in there to auction off their farms. And then the militia is called out to suppress them, and then the militia goes over to their side. And until finally an army is raised by the moneyed people in Boston that finally suppresses Shays' Rebellion. But I had never seen that story told. Of course, I